two Mythbusters memos, the reestablishment of the Frontline Forum for Contracting Officers, a host of web and in-person educational sessions over the past 5 years. They all promote the idea that government and industry can communicate about contracts, but for many acquisition people, it's still a bit too much to grasp. It's been called a matter of breaking through the institutional density of an organization. The latest attempt to break through is a proposed rule by the Federal Acquisition Regulatory Council. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about why yet another effort to reinforce the importance of industry and government communication is in the works. And he joins me now to discuss. This is something, Jason, that going back to the very earliest days of the Obama administration, this Mythbusters idea, talk to one another.
Right.
Still hard to push down.
It seems so simple and it seems so straightforward. Hey, when you guys are doing your acquisitions, developing requirements, bring in the experts, the industry people who are going to be doing the work. And yet, while the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, the senior procurement executives all get it, understand it, support it, it hasn't filtered down as much as it should have to the operational folks. And this latest attempt is a proposed rule in the FAR, in the Federal Register that came out just recently, and the FAR Council is saying, we're going to implement a Section 887, if you're keeping score, Tom, of the Defense Authorization Bill from 2016. And it's a very simple...
2016.
2016.
The last one.
Last
Got
year.
It.
Mm-hmm. Right. It always takes a year. And it's very simple. It just says, the government must not hesitate to communicate with the commercial sector as early as possible in the acquisition cycle to help the government determine the capabilities available in the commercial marketplace. It goes on for another couple sentences, but that's really the grasp here. Communicate early, often. Don't hesitate. There's no reason to hesitate. Just make it happen. And unfortunately, Tom, what we've seen over the last decade plus is not across the board in every agency, but in many, many agencies, less communication and less open communication, more formal communication, RFIs, but also everything's got to be in writing and not so much, hey, Tom, you have a good idea. Hey, you think you can help me? Let's have a meeting. Let's talk about this.
Maybe they're worried about protests. And you mentioned institutional density in your story. What is that? What's the concept there?
Yeah, I think it was a great line that actually came from Tim Cook at ASI Government. And he, you know, they work very closely with federal agencies to help them break through this institutional density. And basically, it's this idea that's very simple. Over the last, you know, decade plus, there's just been kind of the scar tissue that's built up of auditors and of problems and of protests. And basically, what agencies have done is said, we don't want to hear this because we're afraid, we're risk adverse. And you have to get the agencies, the acquisition workforce, past that risk aversion to understand that, yes, talking with industry is okay. And because it's built up over time, it's not just a, well, you know, just tell them to do it and they'll do it. Just provide some education and they'll do it. It's really reinforcing it time and again. And because they, you know, a memo here and a memo there is helpful, it's really putting it in the FAR is what they believe is that next step, the next great step to get people to understand that, yes, this is okay to talk to industry.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, could one impediment be that there is some point in the acquisition cycle where you have to stop the oral discussions and go to like deep into source selection? And maybe it could be that contracting officers and other people involved in source selection were afraid of where that line actually is.
I think that's fair. It's a fair example. But a lot of times when it's not happening, Tom, is on the front end as a requirements definition. And you see people like Soraya Korea at DHS. You see people like Mary Davey at GSA and other things within GSA for their Interact site. They're showing that this can happen on the front end. Let's just take Soraya Korea, for instance, at DHS as one example. She's running, among things, the Procurement Innovation Lab. And one of the things that you reported on just last week was the award for Flash, a agile development vehicle. And what they did was they just didn't say to industry, okay, you know, send us your proposals, we'll review them and then walk through. They had industry days, they had draft RFIs, they had meetings, they had tell us what we need to know about agile. They're really doing a lot to reach out and communicate with industry. The same can be said for GSA around their Alliant, their Oasis vehicles. They have their Interact site. Hey, post a comment, post a question. We're going to answer it for you. Let's have meetings. Let's have more communication. And I think the more agencies do that, the better the procurements end up and the less worry they have around protests. That being said, Tom, also the auditors piece, that's a big concern about an auditor coming in and saying the risk you took was a bad risk and I'm going to slap your hand and you're going to get in trouble. there's that. That's part of the institutional density. I don't want to take a risk if I'm going to get in trouble. And there needs to be a management and leadership. Roger Waldron from the Coalition for Government Procurement made a really great point. This is a leadership and a training issue. The leadership has to say, I will give you top cover, and then I'm going to train you for how to do this. And I think that's a great point he makes.
All right. So once it's in the FAR, then it becomes part of the process orientation and takes it out of that risk-averse area, maybe somewhat, and we'll see some progress there.
Absolutely. I think you have that right. And that's why a lot of people have told me that getting it into FAR is better than just a memo from OFPP.
All right. And also, Jason, you're writing about shared services and a really interesting award by the GSA in that regard.
Now, GSA awarded IBM a $149 million award for HR, if you will, shared services, for lack of a better word. It's a time and attendance system. It's other HR system capabilities. And why this is interesting is, number one, it's a big dollar amount. But two, there's a mandate from OMB that says you must consider federal shared services first and foremost. And if you choose not to go to a federal provider, you should justify why you can't. I'm not proposing that GSA didn't justify and have good reason, but here we are, been pushing for the last 3, 4, 5 years to use federal shared services. And GSA, which is a leader in this, they house the Unified Shared Services Management Office, and they go off campus, if you will. They go to a commercial provider. And it's really a mixed message to the commercial sector. The people I've talked to in the commercial world are scratching their heads. How can, on one hand, the USSM promote this federal role, that industry is going to support the federal role, and they're not going to have opportunities to bid? And then here, the other part of GSA saying, we believe through market research, the commercial sector was our best option.
It's almost as if an A76 competition took place. It didn't, but it came out that way.
and I respect the fact that they would, when GSA or any agency does the market research, they're saying, this is the path that's best for us. But at the same time, then what's the difference between financial management? What's the difference between other HR? What are other agencies going to look at this and go, well, if GSA took this path, why don't we just take the same path and we'll just copy their justification? And that could put a real big curveball, if you will, throw a real big curveball to this federal shared service provider effort. The other thing is, this follows also another time GSA did the same thing with a contract writing system. They made an award just recently for a contract writing system in the cloud. And again, there are federal shared service providers who offer contract writing systems. So going to an outside vendor is, again, another head scratcher. How does this comport with this OMB mandate?
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.